I'd like to call the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting to order. Let the record reflect that it is Thursday, April 25th. The time now is 3:30 p.m. We are currently in the Belts Committee Room in Juneau, Alaska, the state capital. Members present today, Vice Chair Senator Klayman, Senator Merrick, myself, Chair Kawasaki. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to thank Savannah Danbert and Shelby Carroll, both from Senate Records and from the Legislative Information Office for being here today. Today, we just have one bill on the agenda. That is a House bill, House Bill 81, relating to vehicle boats transfer on death title. It's sponsored by Representative George Rauscher. We will go ahead and hear this bill. We plan on holding this bill for a future hearing, but we will open invited in public testimony. We have with us today in the room Representative George Rauscher and his Chief of Staff, Ryan McKee. If the two of you would like to come forward. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Chair Kawasaki. Thank you very much for hearing it. Thank you, committee, for hearing this bill. HB 81 is an ongoing effort to reduce the costs of probate for Alaskans and create a streamlined service through the DMV by which they can designate beneficiaries for cars and boats through a simple form. The process of probate in the state of Alaska can take anywhere from George Rauscher. Sorry.
Who are you?
My name is George Rauscher, District 29. Thank you very much, Chairman Kawasaki. Sorry.
Thank you. Please continue. All right. Representative.
Thank you very much, and I apologize. House Bill 81 is an ongoing effort. So the process of probate in the state of Alaska takes anywhere from 6 months to a year or more, and it costs family members and beneficiaries thousands, potentially tens of thousands of dollars in legal and filing fees. While the state of Alaska has already taken great strides to reduce the costs of probate, there's still much room for improvement. House Bill 81 continues in spirit with the Uniform Real Property Transfer on Death Act, or URPTDA, which unanimously passed both bodies in 2014. URPTDA created the Transfer on Death, TOD, deed, which allows for non-probate transfers of real property. TOD deeds allow Alaskans to select a beneficiary who will receive the property at their passing and removes the property from the process of probate. In 2016, legislation similar to HB 81 was introduced, but the legislation failed to pass that session. HB 81 is nearly identical to it, although it expands the concept to apply to both vehicles and boats that are issued titles to the state. The program will be self-sustaining through fees. I am encouraging a yes vote, but I will turn this over to my Chief of Staff, Ryan McKee, who will go through a sectional and take it from here.
Great. Thank you. Are there any questions for Representative Rauscher this time? Okay.
Staff, I may have a question.
Okay. Hearing none right now, if Mr. McKee, you can state your name and affiliation for the record. Welcome to the State Affairs Committee.
All right. Thank you. Ryan McKee, staff to Representative Rauscher. All right. We'll go ahead and start with the sectional. It is a bit lengthy, so I apologize. Section 1 adds a new section under AS-0525 that allows owners of boats for which the Department of Administration issues titles to obtain a transfer on death or TOD title. Section 2 amends AS-1333-101A to add a transfer of a boat or vehicle by TOD title to the existing list of acceptable non-probate transferable property. Section 3 creates a provision under AS-1333 for a transfer on death title for boats and vehicles. It also creates and defines the mechanism through the Division of Motor Vehicles by which individuals will obtain, revoke, or change their transfer on death title, and defines the parameters of the transfer on death title. Sections A through C, obtaining a TOD title. This creates a provision under AS 1333 for a transfer on death title for vehicles and boats for which DOA issues titles. This includes some manufactured homes for which the DMV issues titles under AS 4529-10266. These homes are without a permanent foundation and transportable in one or more sections. And requires that the transfer of title to the designated beneficiary occurs when the sole owner or last surviving joint owner of the vehicle dies. Requires that owners of the boats or vehicles file a form through the DMV and pay associated fees to apply for a TOD title. Limits the TOD titles to two beneficiaries. Section D, TOD titles effective without notice or consideration. This provides that TOD titles will not require notice or acceptance by the designated beneficiary and provides that TOD titles will not be subject to consideration, the process by which there is an exchange or quid pro quo required from the recipient of the assets. And this language was taken from TOD deed statute under AS 1348060. Part E, TOD titles are non-testamentary. States that TOD titles are non-testamentary, meaning that the associated vehicles do not need to be provided for in the descendant's will. Parts F through G, revocation or change to TOD titles, provides that the owner may revoke or change the designated beneficiary on the TOD at any time without the beneficiary's consent. It further explains the process by which owners may revoke or change a TOD title. And the owner can either assign and deliver the certificate of title for the vehicle to another person, thereby revoking the TOD title, or file with the DMV to reissue the title without a designated beneficiary with a different designated beneficiary. Part H, designated beneficiary's right to disclaim interest, allows designated beneficiaries to refuse the boat or vehicle designated to them in a TOD title. And this language is taken from TOD deed statute under AS 1348-100. Part I, TOD titles subject to descendants, creditors, contracts, etc. Subjects the TOD title to creditors' claims against the owner's estate, as well as to other interests, contracts, liens, encumbrances, assignments, and other interests. These interests remain attached to the boat or vehicle after it is transferred to the designated beneficiary. Then J through M, enforcing liability upon TOD titles, imposes the same procedures for enforcing liability upon TOD titles that is applied to under TOD deeds AS 1348-110 and AS 1348-088. And this provides that the estate may enforce liability against boats or vehicles with TOD titles if the owner's estate does not cover an allowance claim. States that if there are multiple vehicles and or boats and a liability exists in the deceased estate, the liability will be apportioned to each asset in proportion to its net value, which requires that a proceeding to enforce a liability must begin within 12 months of the owner's passing and could only begin once proper notification to beneficiaries has occurred. Stipulates that TOD titles do not affect rights of ownership before the owner's death and does not affect rights of the designated beneficiary or creditors of the owners. TOD titles do not give legal or equitable preference to the designated beneficiary, and TOD titles do not affect designated beneficiaries' eligibility for state public assistance. Uniform standards of survivorship requirements to receive TOD title requires that the designated beneficiary survive the previous owner by 120 hours, requires that the designated beneficiary submit proof of the owner's death and an application and associated fees to the DMV. If there are two beneficiaries listed on the TOD title, they become joint owners. TOD titles may not be changed by other instruments, provides that TOD titles may only be changed by the process outlined in Section 3 and not by a will or any other instrument. Part R gives the DOA authority to develop regulations to implement the TOD titles, establish necessary forms and fees, etc. Section S is definitions, or Part S. Section 4 amends AS 1348-110C to add a person acting on behalf of a surviving spouse of the descendant to the list of people who may demand to enforce liability against the descendant's property. Section 5 adds a new section to AS 2810-275 relating to vehicle titles to clearly state that owners of vehicles for which the DMV issues titles may obtain a TOD title. Section 6 gives the DOA authority to develop necessary regulations. Section 7 applies an immediate effective date to Section 5 of this bill to allow the department to develop regulations. And then finally, Section 8 applies an effective date of July 1st, 2024 to the legislation, except for Sections 5 and 7.
Great. Thank you, Mr. McKee. Let's see if there's any questions from members of the committee. Senator Klayman has a question.
Whichever of you is best able. This is essentially the same structure that you have, like with an IRA or with a bank account. If I die, whoever I've listed on my bank account is the next of kin, which is a document that sits in the bank. That's where the money goes. And I think the banks are there, and the IRA, the companies that run IRAs, are in that place because they actually want to move the money into the next management. They don't want to wait for what could be years before the will gets probated. But we have a certain confidence, like with a bank or an IRA company, that actually the party that has the document with the signatures on it is the bank or the IRA company or brokerage or whatever. Is this anticipation here that for a transfer on death title to be effective, that the beneficiary or the beneficiary is going to be on file at DMV, or is this just on the title document sitting in my basement?
For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Representative Rauscher, through the chair, Senator Klayman. We have a couple people that should be online soon. One is with New York Life and another with Peak Trust, and they can answer that question for you.
Yes, they are not currently online. I see in the script that there are two folks, one from New York Life and one from Peak Trust, but they are not currently online. Maybe we'll hold that item, but I
can just express my concern. Go ahead and finish. Sorry.
No, did you have another question? You can just go ahead.
Well, my concern is that, like, I have a title sitting in my basement for a car that is now in the junkyard in Juneau, and nobody's going to want to drive it. But if somebody were walking through my basement and not happily there, but if they walked in and found the title, they could go put their name on the vehicle. And then somebody says, whose vehicle is this? Well, Klayman's dead, and so it's mine. And, you know, Joe Smith, who may have no connection to me and my family, who managed to get a hold of the title, now says, here this is. And so my concern is, I totally support what this legislation does, 100% behind it. My concern is, how do we protect it to make sure that, in fact, the person that is supposed to receive it, there's someplace other than the file in the basement, or somebody shows up with title and, hey, look, you know, here's my, you know, it's a year old car and look whose name is on the title. How can we be assured that's the right person? And my thought is that the person would actually have to sign that over, and then it would be recorded with DMV, and so it's sitting in DMV files and not just in my basement. But that's my question.
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, Senator Klayman. So my understanding is your name needs to be on the title, and there has to be with a car it would be a registration which would go with it, but it has to be on the title before you die. And that's the only way that could happen. That's my understanding of how it works. Does that answer your question?
Through the chair, that doesn't really, because that's the same topic. I'm dead, and somebody goes and looks in the file, and there's the title, and it's got Joe Smith on the title. And the challenge is that presumably before I died, I put that Joe Smith, whether Joe Smith's name showed up on the title miraculously the day after I died or whatever, but the first time somebody pulls out the title from the file in my basement, it says, oh, the transfer on death is Joe Smith. And the family's saying, why did Matt write Joe Smith? And nobody has a good answer, but Joe Smith is there with the original title. And, you know, this isn't an issue with the banks, because if I want to change who the beneficiary is in my bank account, I can say all I want to at home. But if I actually don't go down to the bank and say, change who's on the document, the bank isn't going to pay attention to it. Here we've got the transfer document is essentially a piece of paper that's sitting in people's houses. And what measures do we have to have some surety that the people don't get a hold of titles and start writing names on
them? Representative Rausch, through the chair to Senator Klayman. I don't have the answer to that question, but before we appear again, I can find that out, or even before that happens, I can send it to the committee. Once I find out, since no one is online, apparently they were supposed to be here, but they're not, we can find out what the actual legalese on that would be.
Okay. I mean, as if we needed to make some sort of amendment, I'd have to take that up too.
Thank you. I do have one more question, but we do have somebody who might be able to answer that question here in a second. I did have a question just generally. This bill deals relating to Department of Administration, specifically DMV, and then very specifically boats and things with vehicular titles. Why does this not apply to other things outside of that?
For the record, Ryan McKee, staff to Representative Rauscher, Chair Senator Kawasaki. The planes did come up as one or the other, but they're governed and regulated by the FAA, and so they wouldn't be able to be eligible through this because that's a federal requirement. And then boats, I believe, over 24 feet have to be dealt with through the Coast Guard. And so those things are already in place, and so that's why those aren't part of this.
Very good. Practical answer. Thank you, Mr. McKee. Another question, just when it talks about adopting regulation and then implementing and issuing new certificates, who are they, if say a bank owns the boat, who, I guess, are they transferring that title upon death to a bank, or is that who they're transferring it to, a separate corporation, who are they transferring that certificate to?
Ryan McKee, staff to Representative Rauscher, Senator Kawasaki. If that is the owner, the purpose of this would be transferring to a family member. If you're talking about the debts that are tied to the boat, those debts do follow. So that question also came up, I believe, in House Finance on whether or not the debts would be able to be collected. And yeah, if there is still debts owed to a bank or on that, that does follow. Yes. Now it does give the recipient doesn't have to accept it. If somebody gifts their relative a boat and they say, I don't want it. They're not required obviously to take it. Mm-hmm. And then through the chair, Senator Kawasaki or Klayman, and we'll probably need our invited testimony, but kind of to your question on somebody just having this title, the TOD title would be a new licensing thing through the DMV, and so it would require the owners of the boats or vehicles to go ahead and go to the DMV, register, get this TOD title, pay all the fees and whatnot. So if they didn't do that, then it doesn't matter if they have that title or not. If they haven't actually, if the previous owner hadn't already gone to the DMV and done this new transfer on death and paid everything and all that, then they wouldn't be able to just show up and have that.
Go ahead, Senator Klayman.
But that doesn't really answer the question, because I go down to DMV and I get a transfer on death title, and they say, congratulations, here it is. And they hand me, they put all their colors and gizmos on it, and I sign it and I take it home. And now I've got this document sitting that says a transfer on death title. And unless I also have to say who's it going to, and then that gets registered in DMV records, I just basically have this transfer on death title that says my goal is to have this here, and then I'll decide who I'm going to give it to. Oh, you know, next Christmas, and see who gives me the nicest present. That's who I'm going to write on the document. That doesn't give that protection that I'm talking about. Whereas if I'm down at DMV and I fill in the document and I say, okay, I'm going to give it to, you know, my nephew Bill. Now DMV, somebody questions who's on there, that people are going to go to DMV and they say, who's on there? And if DMV doesn't have Bill on, they're going to say, well, he didn't make this.
Okay.
And that's where I see this is different than the bank, because what we know that the bank in the same setting, they have all these rules and regulations that they do. And so I have pretty high confidence that the bank isn't going to transfer to somebody that didn't get in the bank's documents. But in terms of the personal owners, the transfer on death title that's just sitting in a file cabinet somewhere, those could be easily changed. And then you're just left with, here's this document, and how do you see if this is really what the now decedent wanted?
Yeah, through the chair, Senator Clayman, I get what you're saying. Now, I'll get clarification on that. And then if they don't have specific guidelines for that, then yeah, we would definitely look at amending this to make sure. Because now I get what you're saying.
I mean, but there may be other alternatives. But my basic thought is that that we ought to have the part of that transfer and death title process should be that the owner comes in and says, list with DMV who's getting it. And so when the title gets issued, you've actually got that person is in there. And then when the family's saying, wait a minute, you know, why'd you give the car to so-and-so? The answer is, I don't know why you gave it to so-and-so, but DMV shows that's the person that's getting it. And then you're no longer in this argument about how did somebody else get in there and what did the person intend to do?
We do have a couple people who were invited testimony. They have called in. Maybe we can just go ahead and shift gears for a second, go to invited testimony and see if they might have any answers to some of the questions that had come up. First, we will go ahead up to Fairbanks, where we have Linda Hulbert. Linda Hulbert works for New York Life. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. Yes, my name is Linda Hulbert, and I do work in the life insurance industry, and I have done so for the last 35 years, both clients, many, many of them, in Anchorage, Fairbanks, and all over the state. And I appreciate the opportunity to feed into you what I see. I see people who need to plan for retirement, and they, during retirement planning, need to take a look at what their assets are and how they want to transfer them. So you can talk about, you know, cars, and cars aren't usually the biggest asset. Frequently, it's their big, beautiful motorhome that they just bought because they were retiring. Frequently is their boat, which is their life desire, frequently. And those things muddy up trying to probate. If you don't have to go through probate, then you can solve things without going into the state, doing all the paperwork, probably hiring an attorney, and going through all the expense. If assets leave after death, when you do a transfer on death, when the person dies, the title is just transferred to that new person. It's simple, it's easy, it's not an expensive thing to do, and it makes sense. So what I say is that practically, when I look at this, I look at how it's going to affect all the people and the clients that I work with. And when they can shift assets out of their estate at death, then it keeps them from having a probatable estate, which keeps a lot of savings for them. So it's an efficient way to transfer an asset that you would like to have transferred to somebody. If somebody says, oh, I'm going to give it to John, and they change their mind, it's very simple. You just go and get the paperwork and fill in the new name of the person you want to give it to. So changing a TOD is not a big deal. What I'm just talking about is from the client's and the regular Alaskan's point of view. They just want to be able to have those assets go to the people they want to go to and not have to have the spouse or individuals that are left having to deal with that. And you have to look at their assets that are probatable. And if you don't have to do probate, that's very, very positive. So I guess I'm talking of the reality of what things are and how this makes things much more easy and positive for the individuals involved. If somebody did a TOD, he probably needs to let the other people around him know, but a copy of that TOD should be in the file somewhere. But the key is that proper planning will help this, but proper planning means that you are able to do a TOD either for the boat or for the motorhome. And what happens is those things really add up in cost. Therefore, my request is that SB 81 be passed, because for everyday people who are working to do the right thing, not having to deal with probate is very positive. And the way not to deal with probate is to probably assess most of your assets with beneficiary designations, and in this case, TODs, that will benefit the whole family. So I see 99% of the cases to be clear, and a lot of people would benefit from the passage of this legislation. So I'm not legal. All I'm doing is representing all the people who are retirement planning and doing wills and trusts and want to figure out through the whole maze of that paperwork how they can simplify their life. And this way is a simplification. Thank you very much, and I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Hulbert. I wanted to recognize that Senator Bjorkman joined us some time ago and open it up to questions for Ms. Hulbert. I'll just go ahead and start with a question just generally, because I'm not really familiar with how probate works. I just remember going through it many, many years ago. When is it necessary to go through probate, and when is it not necessary? And if that's a question that needs to be directed somewhere else, I can ask that.
Probate just means that you're changing a title, or that you're changing it, and it's a matter of what's the value. Now, attorneys can answer those questions, but when you look at whether you have to go to probate or whether you don't, it depends on how the assets are. And if you have a simple will and say, my beneficiary does this and this and this, and I'm fine, then they say, oh, you've got assets over X amount that you haven't designated to someplace, either by insurance or annuities, or you might have transfers on death on your already on your investments. And so those things are all handled outside of probate. So you have to look at somebody's, what are your probatable assets? And I would need to go to legislator or a lawyer, a person with legal expertise. But I think it was about 60,000 was what I was thinking. The amount may have been changed. But if you have more than 60,000 in your estate that you haven't planned by changing title, then probate is essential. So if you haven't planned, then you need to figure out, poor guys need to figure out, what is probate? How do we do it? Then we have to get someone to represent us, and we have to fill out the paperwork. And my understanding that they then have to wait for the court system to appoint them, so that they have the power to do something with the assets. So it's a lengthy process and it's expensive. I had a client unexpectedly, quickly, in Oklahoma about three months ago, and the father died, and then the mother died a month later. And the son, they were in Oklahoma. The son was in Philadelphia. He has no money, but he's just young. He's just out of college. But he flew to his parents' house, and he was trying to figure out what to do with stuff. Cleaning up the house. Did he own the house? What was he going to do? And then he said, I can't do anything. All of this is in their name. And I have to transfer from my father to my mother, and then she dies. And then he went to an attorney, and they said, we won't talk to you unless you put $3,000 here. Well, he's busy trying out of his little salary in Pennsylvania, or where his bank account is, trying just to keep the utilities up on the house so the water and electricity isn't turned off. And here he is with a probate dealing with probate, and it's a nightmare for him, and he can't afford because he can't pay a probate lawyer. So he's stuck between a hard place. Not that this bill is going to make any difference for him because he's in another state, but that can happen. What happened in Oklahoma can happen here. But if we can try to plan or we can try to help, at least we can get assets out of the estate, which would decrease the likelihood of probate. Because probate is more simple in Alaska than and many other states, but it's still time-consuming and lots of paperwork and lots of delays because the court system has a lot of backup. So you're dependent on the court system to determine that you're eligible to do anything. And in that case, somebody's got to be paying the bills. That's what it's like. Probate's not fun.
Great. Thank you. We have all something to think about here. I did sort of have a general question. I don't know if Senator Klayman can actually answer this. But so I have nothing to my name. I die. I do have a minivan outside and a title to it that's in the office right now. And I have zero. I've got nothing at all. No savings. No debts. But I wrote into a will that I want to give my minivan to Kelly Merrick. Does that have to go through probate? How easy is that to get through?
No, is it because the minivan?
Ma'am, I think he's asking me the question.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah.
So the answer is Senator Merrick doesn't want your minivan, and so the answer is that if you have a will, then you would then, if you hadn't taken other measures in your estate plan to allow that to process short of the will, which is a more complicated question than I can answer, but if you just have a will and no other means to avoid probate, then you would go to court, or somebody would go to court after you die and begin the process of transferring title of the minivan to Senator Merrick. And she would be going, my God, what am I doing with this minivan? But the purpose of the transfer on death title is for assets like that to specifically avoid probate. And not only that, but actually avoid the other mechanisms in an estate plan that are also designed to avoid probate, which is why banks and investment brokers that all have these provisions in their setup, because they actually want the assets to transfer quickly and not have to wait for any kind of legal document process. And so the goal of these is to take assets that many people have, like an IRA, like a savings account, and transfer those based on instructions, because some people have wills, some don't. Okay. And for example, if you didn't have a will, then you'd be in what's called intestate succession, and you'd have to go to court to determine who gets the vehicle if you didn't have a will, and what the transfer on death would avoid the transfer of the minivan in both instances.
Thank you for that clarification on my minivan. I'm going to make sure to do that real soon. Thank you, Ms. Hulbert. I appreciate you. If you want to stay maybe online for more questions, we do have another person. We have Miriam Hall, marketing and communications through Peak Trust Company in Anchorage. If you could state your name and your affiliation for the record, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Senator and members of the State Affairs Committee. My name is Miriam Hall, and I live in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm calling in today on behalf of Peak Trust Company and the Alaska Trust and Safe Professionals Group. I would like to express my strong support of House Bill 81. This bill, if passed into law, has the potential to provide for reduced probate costs for Alaska, as much of the discussion here has illustrated. And with appropriate planning, potentially reduce the administrative burden within our court system. Happy to answer any very basic questions. Of course, I am not a lawyer, so any legal questions, I'm happy to come back and provide a thorough response in writing to any of the committee members who may have more complex questions that are beyond my scope.
Thank you, Ms. Hall. I think you probably heard some of the questions and statements that were made, and I don't think that we have any questions from the committee at this point. Thank you for being here. We will go ahead and open up public testimony, which I haven't done yet. We'll open up public testimony to anybody online. And there's nobody online, and anybody in the room who'd like to testify on House Bill 81. Hearing and seeing none, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. Just wanted to make sure that folks who might be listening know that they can always send testimony to the committee. It is Senate State Affairs at akleg.gov. That's Senate State Affairs at akleg.gov. Those communications will be filed and also sent to all the members of the committee. Okay, we will go ahead next to just bring it back to the committee and see if there might be any other questions of the sponsor of the bill or his designee, Senator Clayman.
Oh, happy to talk with you offline or not in committee about the questions I raised.
Great. Did you want to make any final statements before we set the bill aside?
Representative Rauscher to the committee, District 29 to the committee. I just want to thank you for hearing the bill. There's been a lot of requests for it, which is why it was actually written. It's taken a few years to write it because it's changed over the years. We've added, we now have boats and cars involved because people found there's more of a need than just what it was a couple years ago. So we just appreciate y'all hearing it.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Appreciate you bringing this forward. Thank you, Mr. McKee. We will go ahead and set Senator House Bill 81 aside for a future hearing. I just wanted to make an announcement before we conclude the meeting. Tuesday, April 30th is our next meeting. It is we will be hearing House Bill 265 on child sexual abuse material by Representative Vance. We've heard that bill one time before, and we will seek the will of the committee. We have House Bill 316 on emergency wireless device location disclosures by Representative Johnson. We will be hearing, and we will open up invited in public testimony. We will also have Senate Bill 229 relating to gun violence protective orders by Senator Luke Tobin with public and invited testimony. We will also hear, pending referral, House Bill 293, vehicle register transfer insurance and licenses by rules by request. I'm sorry, the governor by request, rules by request of the governor. Pending referral, it is a bill currently in the House Finance Committee. We will also bring up Senate Bill 208, which is the same bill, depending on whether that other bill comes across or not. Are there any other comments before we adjourn the meeting for today? Wonderful. Hearing and seeing none, we will adjourn the Senate State Affairs Committee meeting, and the time now is 4:09 p.m.